contagious in the house of God. And so we wish, praise the Lord for that. We do want you to keep Cliff in your prayer. He's had a little turn for the worse, but he's coming through, and he's in a great place in faith in the Lord. So remember Cliff and Thelma and Alicia today, and also Miss Wendy. How's she doing today? A little bit this morning. And such good spirits. You know, I was up there, was it Friday, and visiting with her, and just such good spirits about for her age and for what she has. You can tell it comes from way down in here when she's coughing and stuff. But I appreciate the saints. When you go up, she has that beautiful smile. And so just keep them in your prayers. Also, let's keep... Yes, Miss Alice is not here today, and she's, you know, Miss Alice is sick when she don't come to church on a nice day, and a lot of people have been fighting it. Jana just got over it, and also remember my sister in prayer. She's had a knee surgery, and same thing Bill had, and doing very well, and thank you for all your prayers in that area. And for all those that are sick, we ask God's blessing. Let's just go to prayer. Father, we just lift up those in the body. This sickness is going around. We just ask in Jesus' name that you would come, Holy Spirit, and begin to minister healing to their body, to them physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Let every fiber of their being experience the peace and the power and the presence of God. We thank you, Lord, today for those that... I may not have set their alarm. We ask you to bless them right where they are today, God, and give them a good day as well. And God, we just ask you to come right now and bless this service for those that have come. And thank you for the wonderful music that our young people provided today and is leading us into the presence of God. That was awesome, Lord. And we just ask you to bless them today for their gifts and talents, and because they've been a blessing to us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you will accomplish your will in this service today. And all the saints said, amen. Got your sword today? And I sound a little raspy, but I feel good. I feel good. It's like James Brown today. I feel good. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I can have what it says I can have. I can give what it says I can give. I can go where it says I can go. I can learn what it says I can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You know, there's one good thing about the daylight saving times being today. It's not on Easter.
Amen.
I like the other time when it changes back and everybody's early. That's nice. Especially when you see their face. Oh, man, I'm early, aren't I? I forgot to 8 o'clock. I want to talk to you today about the value of other. The value of other. I put this on the board, and I thought people was going to drive by and say, value of other. You should have put others. And sure enough, I was talking to my youth pastor, and he said, I thought that should be others. He said, well, it's other, could be other things, couldn't it? But what I want to talk to you about today is being other-minded. Other-minded. Here's what I know. You and I, every person on the planet needs other people. We just need them. I mean, of course, our mom and dad brought us into the world. But besides that, we just need people. And it's awesome to think that God created us with such a need. And so we would depend on each other and bond together and tie in together as a human race. Just think with me for a minute. When Adam was in the garden in Genesis, he said that he made him, and he was in literally a glorified body state. You know, there's no death in him before the fall. And so he could have lived forever. He had everything he needed. He had all the fruit and meat and everything he needed he had. And so he made him, and he made the animals, and he brought them to Adam, and he named them, and then he would come down, God himself would come down in fellowship with Adam. So there's nothing that he did, he had really no needs, but God looked at him and said, it is not what? Good that man should be alone. With everything. He couldn't get sick like we're getting sick today. Sickness had no power at that time. There's no sin in the world, and so he couldn't get sick. He wouldn't have need of a doctor. Didn't have need of food because God supplied everything, and so he had no need. But he looked at the man, and it is interesting when he said, "It is not good that man should be alone." So you just write that down. We need each other, you know. even if we weren't in this fallen state where we fight sickness and all the things that we fight, we need each other. We need each other. And then, not only do we need each other, but this, here's what I love about this, and you ought to just write this down somewhere. When you're in the self-seeking mode, you're in the need mode. Do you get that? When we get inward, we get self-seeking instead of others, you know, minded. We're in the need mode. It just seems like there's no way we can get all of our needs met. When we're in the self, here's what happens when you're in the self-seeking mode. You may have a pretty nice car that you know you've got, maybe not. Some of you, but I wasn't looking at anyone in particular here. I just know how it is when you're young. And my son's first car, I gave $500 for it, and I don't know how, but it caught fire underneath under the seat, that just smoldered, and it was, you know, it wasn't good. But that was what he had, and that was his first car. And so anyway, you know, whatever you have, when you're in focus, inward focus, what happens is, in selfish focus, what happens is this. There's something that just, you ever notice that? You can't get every need met. It's like something else is lacking. So here's what I found. When we're inward focused and self-focused, we're in a need cycle. There's just something that's not being met. Just, there's that unfulfilling, sinking feeling when you're in a selfish mode. Here's what I want you to know about when we're other focused or outward focused, we are in the blessing cycle. You ought to write that down. When we're other focused, we are in the blessing cycle. And there's just something really powerful about that. And I want to explain that to you today. But when we're other focused, we are automatically in the blessing cycle. In Luke 6, remember what he said, Luke 6:38? Give, and it shall be given unto you, pressed down, shaken together, running over, it shall be put into your bosom, into the place that you have your innermost being. The need will be fulfilled. And he didn't say it could come. He said it will be placed there when you're giving yourself away, when you're other focused. And so that's the cycle I'm talking about. And he says, I would rather be caught up in a blessing cycle than I had in a need cycle. Yeah. And that's the way you get there, is whenever you begin to have your focus on other people. And it's on other people. Now, go with me to Matthew the 5th chapter. I want to show you what I'm talking about. Matthew the 5th chapter. I mean, notice when we get to heaven, we're going to stand before God, and we're going to give an account of our lives. And I have it pictured like this. The big screen up here, you see, on the big screen, I think we'll stand before God and He'll be awesome and it'll just be unbelievable. But we'll look, and I think all of our deeds from our first day of accountability, which I'm not sure what that is. Some say 12, some say 20. And I know when they came out of Egypt and the accountability, he was 20 and under, wasn't it? They weren't accountable 20 and under. And I kind of think a lot of times we're not just real accountable until we're like 20 and under, because our maturity level and what we know and what we and that's not to say if you're under 20 you can go sin and do what you want because pastor said. See, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. I knew a kid one time, he's like 6-7 years old, and I watched him go to the altar, a friend of mine in a little Baptist church where I grew up, tears just rolling down his face. And I'm telling you, he was born again. Saw the same kid about 20 years later. He was preaching the gospel, a revival in that same church. And so it's, you know, God has experience and he loves you and all. But when we become accountable, we're going to give an account. And here's what I want you to get today. I believe that the majority of our blessings and reward will come from what you did or did not do for others. Just think about it for a minute. What you did or did not do for others, especially when God said, meet this need in a person's life. How many knows we're going to go down and feed 600 homeless people here on March 29th? And I'd like for everybody in the building and get all your friends to sign up and help us go down there and just make it a special day on that day, because we're going to invest ourselves in others. And it's going to be a wonderful day. And so we're excited about it. Jan and I were walking the track yesterday, and she said, sign me up. And so we're excited about everybody that will sign up and do a part. We're going to be down there from about 11 o'clock in the morning to about 8 or so at night, because getting prepared and cooking for that many people. So we're excited about that. But I want you to see this. In Matthew, the 5th chapter, he talks about how we should be involved with others. You know, when God put out the commandment, he said the greatest two commandments is what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, strength, and soul, and love your neighbor is what? Love your neighbor is what? I mean, he's pretty fond of yourself. Let me see your hand. I mean, you got up this morning, you brushed your teeth, combed your hair, and you know, you put your stuff on and showered, and you know, you're just pretty fond of you, aren't you? In fact, last night, let me tell you how fond my wife is of herself. Last night, she was walking along, and she stubbed her little toe on the vacuum cleaner, and she was cleaning, and she just stopped cleaning. The whole cleaning just stopped, and she come hobbling in there and sat down beside me and said, "I think I broke my little toe." Well, it's just a little toe. And then it just began to swell up, and it was a bigger toe. And she come hopping in this, but she's sitting back there with her shoe off right now, catering that little toe. He said, and that's the way we should love our neighbor. Even if it's just our little toe that's hurting, you know, we dote over it, and we get off of it, and we put it up, and we put ice on it, and so he said, that's the way you're supposed to treat your neighbor. Now, how many knows when it's not your little toe? It's like, oh, bless your heart. See, there's not much compassion in that. I was watching the movie and I said, oh, bless your heart. I did get her some ice and all. But you know what I'm saying? Love your neighbor as yourself. And listen, the reason he asked, or the reason he really didn't ask, he told us to do that is so we would get caught up in the cycle of blessing. Listen, how many knows that God doesn't have to have you to feed people? Remember when Elijah, he went up before the king and he pronounced there's going to be a drought in the land? Remember that? And he sent the prophet off into the wilderness? And remember what he did? He brought in, you know, we talk about overnight and all this stuff. Well, God has his airmail, and he airmails in 2 meals a day to the prophet through birds. The ravens brought him meat and bread in the morning and meat and bread in the evening. So every day he'd get up, and I don't know where the meat came from, but God knows. It may have came out of heaven. It might have been a bird from heaven. We don't know. It doesn't say. But whatever means, God supplied him meat and bread in the morning, meat and bread in the afternoon. And so God doesn't have to have us to meet needs. Remember when there was a need and all they had was a few loaves and a few fish? Remember what God did? He sat down thousands of people and began to break them apart, and all that little bit of bread and fish fed thousands of people. So he don't have to have me and you, but he chose to put us in the cycle of blessing and bless others. That's why he said to you, it's not for them. God can meet their needs. He really don't need that. He could send the Holy Spirit. Jesus could come himself. He could send angels, but he said, I want you to be in on the blessing. And so he sent you and I to be the hands and the feet and the face of God to our neighbor. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now watch this in Matthew, the 5th chapter. We'll start reading verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. How many knows that's a natural process? If you want to work in the natural, I mean, if that comes easy, is loving, love your neighbor, well, if you got good neighbors, but to hate your enemies, that's just natural. Somebody's hate, you know, does something to you, and we all the time see on news TV shows where somebody has raped somebody's daughter, and last night we were watching 48 Hours, and it's a murder and a plot and all, and there's people that have brutally murdered one of your loved ones. How many knows that would be awfully hard to love them? But that would be a true enemy, wouldn't it? And that would be a test of your faith and a test of if you want to get caught up in the cycle. And maybe no one's raped or killed one of your loved ones, but here's what I know. In life, somebody has hurt you. And God says, for those that have hurt you and mistreated you, He said, your response, if you want to get caught up in the cycle of blessing, is always love. And so you just practice that. And I found this, if I practice that enough when I'm doing for others, because He gave us a response how to do to treat a loving person, and He gave us a response on how to treat a hateful person, a person that hurts us. And it's always loving them. He says you should love them, love your enemies. Verse 44, bless those who curse you. Do what? Good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you. I don't know about you, but when my kids do something out of spite, they get in trouble. I mean, if you just do something, you know, one of my kids was just misbehaving and you know, just kind of fell into something, that's one thing. But if I say don't do it, and they're like, you know, don't cross that line, they're in the spite, how many knows there's a different punishment for that? And it's the same way with God's Word. I mean, it's He said, even those that spitefully use you, when you know that they aim to do that, they aim to hurt you, they premeditatedly said what they said, did what they did. He said, even those people, if you want to get caught up in the cycle of blessing, He said, you need to bless them and pray for them. The other night we got off the bus and we came here and some of us here doing some cleaning and stuff. She said, can you take Addie home? And I said, of course. And so we put Addie in the back seat and our other three grandsons are there. And all of a sudden, they said, can we go get ice cream? We always go to Freddy's for ice cream after church. Listen, parents, let me tell you something. You ought to have some good habits when you feed and do something really your kids, grandkids love after church. Because it ties in a good, they want to come. It gives them another reason to want to come. And we only have them for a season. And so we create good habits. When I bring them to church on Sunday morning, guess where we go first? The donut shop. I don't know if they love Jesus or donuts better, but they're going to get both when they're with Papa. Because association. And so so it's going home. Addie said this to me. I said, well, if Addie will be good, we'll go get Freddy's. And I said, Addie, will you be good? And will you sit up in your chair by Papa and not get down and run around? She said, no. I said, then we can't go. I mean, that's loving your people right there. You know, that's how many knows God says when He tells you no and you do anyway, there's consequences. That's teaching them godly principles. And so all three grandsons, Addie, please be good. Tell Papa you'll be good. She said, no. Because when she's through eating, she likes to get down and run around. And I said, well, we're not going then. We're going to take you home. And they're like, Addie, just say yes. And we get to go eat ice cream. And she said, okay. Papa, she said, okay, we can go eat ice cream. I said, you going to be good? Sat up there with my Papa, and I looked up at Mary, and she's in her seat. She said, yeah. She didn't say it enthusiastically, but she said yes. Listen, when God says love your enemies, you don't even have to say it enthusiastically. Just say yes. Because you want to get caught up in the cycle of blessing, just say yes. Well, he hurt me. She hurt me. Well, I don't like the way. Well, it doesn't matter what you like. Do you want to get caught up in the cycle of blessing or the cycle of leave? Where do you want to land? See, we need to learn that. It doesn't matter if you don't have to be happy about doing it. Just do it because it's a God thing and you want to get caught up in the cycle of blessing. Don't worry about it. How many knows when God comes back, all the scales are going to be balanced? That's why He said, you don't get vengeance on others. You love others. Let me do the vengeance thing and you love them so you'll be caught up in the cycle of blessings. How many knows we don't even have to praise God? He said, I can command the rocks and they'll cry out praise to me. He don't even have to have us to praise as much as we enjoy that. But Sarah, you just walk off. I could just walk, the band could just walk off. God said, I will be praised. How many knows there's holy angels around the throne praising Him right now? He's going to get praised because He's worthy. Because He's worthy. And when we get caught up in the cycle of blessing, we don't feel like saying, I love that honoring neighbor, I'm going to pray for them. Or you know, but we just do it so we can get it caught up in the cycle of blessing. Wow. And He said, when you do, it's going to be put into your bosom. God's going to put it there. See, we worry about the economy, and we worry about somebody recognizing us, and we worry about this and that, and I'm telling you, you don't have to worry about that. God said, if you'll do what I say, I'll do what people won't do, can't do, I'll do for you, and I'll put blessing upon you. It's a cycle of blessing that God said, I'm putting in order. Well, we got to the ice cream place, and she got through with her ice cream, and she started sliding under the chair. I said, Addie, you told Pop you'd be good. And I pulled her back up, set her down. She said, no. And she starts sliding again. And guess what she got? She didn't get ice cream. She got something else. I swatted her and I pulled her back up there and said, how many knows that's what God does for you when you say no? Remember Jonah? Remember Jonah? God was wanting to put him in the cycle of love, wasn't he? And blessing. And he said, I want you to go love on the Ninevites. Remember Jonah? This is the way some of us are. He says, I want you to go love on the Ninevites. Remember what Jonah said? Okay. Is that what he said? What did Jonah say? No! See the defiant there? He knew God's will. He knew who God wanted to love on. Who is it that God has said to you, I want you to love on? You said, no! I'm not letting them off the hook. They hurt me. They were mean to me. Who is it that, you know, who's your Ninevite? Who's your Ninevite? Jonah said no, and he got on the boat, and he took off, and was headed the opposite direction down to Tarshish, and he got on from Joppa, headed to Tarshish, and remember what happened? God prepared a storm. Sometimes we're rebuking the devil, and God's prepared that storm for you and me because we were in rebellion. How many knows if you rebuke God's storm, the way you tell us God's storm, if it don't quit, it could be a God storm. Because this wasn't quitting until he said, I'm going to repent and I'm going to turn. In fact, he was so adamant about not going to preach to the Ninevites. Remember what he did when he was asleep on the boat and the waves are coming? And how many know there's nothing that wear you out more than being a rebellious Christian? He is wore out. And he's down there and he's asleep in the boat and it's about to break it up. He don't even wake up. They have to come wake him up. And they said, get up and pray to your God. Maybe he'll spare us. And I thought it was so profound what Jonah said to them. He said, you know what? When they began to ask him, he was kind of like Addie. He just told the truth. You know, God asked me to go, and I said, no. I'm not going to Nineveh. And they said, well, who do you serve, and what is this all about? And he said, I serve the God that made the heavens and the earth and the sea. Guess where they were? On the sea. And he just told them, I've served the God that made the sea. And they think, well, this is the God that's about to kill us. It's the God that made the sea. Now, you may not think that's much, but that's pretty profound. If you're on the sea, and this guy, and your boat's about to sink, he just told you, I serve the God that made this sea. In fact, it had such an impact on them, they said this. They said, Well, let's row and let's pray and let's. They called out and they made vows to his God. But you know what? He still was like, no. This is how adamant. When they asked him, they said, Jonah, what can we do so your God won't tear this boat up? You know what he could have said? And this is kind of a duh. He could have said, what you need to do is turn this boat around and take me back to the shore. And God will spare us. He could have said, you need to take this boat and point it toward Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was off out in the land for quite a ways. But he said, you could have come, let's go the other way and point me toward Nineveh. Get me a little closer and God will come. But you know what? He was so adamant and he was so stuck on saying no that he said, the only way you can, he didn't give me those options. He said, throw me overboard. You think, wow, what a stubborn guy. Listen, he's no more stubborn than me and you when we won't forgive people. And he's no more in danger of the seas and the storms that's coming than it is when you and I will not forgive people and we refuse to love our enemies and pray for them and bless them. He's in no more trouble than we are. We may not be on the sea that's shaking, but I'm telling you, your world will be shaking if you don't turn around and head to Nineveh. Are you with me? I'm talking about getting caught up in the cycle of blessing. Some of you, maybe you rode a storm for so long, you don't even know why it's still storming. And you need to really think, is there somebody in my life that I haven't forgiven? Is there somebody in my life that I need to reach out to and bless? Now, if you've tried and the relationship wasn't restored, that's not your problem. You know, if you've done what God asked you to do and you've loved on them. But I'm just saying, that's where Jonah was, and that's where some of us get. And we're out of the cycle of blessing, and we're in the cycle of need. How many knows he had a great need? That was just survival. And God prepared a fish, and he here's the thing. He had to go. He had to go through it all. And here's what's going to happen. You and I have to go. We may have to go through the storm. We may get swallowed up. We may get spit out. He was vomited out on the shore. Now, I've never seen a big fish vomit, but I've been there myself. Haven't you? Was up at the hospital the other day talking to Thalma and Alicia, and I got so tickled at them. Alicia had got very, very sick, and she was vomiting. And Thelma said, "Baby, don't vomit like that. Don't do it that way." They're on the phone. And she said, "Mama, just shut up. I'm sick. You know, just hang on the phone." And we were just laughing and cracking up. And some of you that's got, you know, young ladies and teenagers. I said, "Well, that was hilarious." She said, "Well, she was just, I thought she was going to vomit her guts out the way she was vomiting." And here's Mama trying to help her daughter, saying, "You know, just don't do that." And, you know, she's trying to give her help. Listen, do good to those that hate you and pray for those who spitefully use you. Verse 45, and here's the key. This is what I want you to get today. Get this in your spirit. That you may be. See, now he didn't say love your enemies for their sake, did he? He said that you may be. Everybody say that I may be. See. This loving your enemy thing is not about your enemies. This loving your enemy things is about you. That you may be. I want you to love them and pray for them and bless them because you may be. If you get a hold of that, it'll change your life. God wants me to love them and forgive them and help them and bless them for what it will do for me, not for what it do for them. See, we think if we let people off the hook, they're going to get away with something. How many knows they're not? You're not going to get away with anything either. The scales will all be balanced one day. We'll stand and we'll give an account before God. And so here we are. And so he says, you want to get caught up in the cycle of blessing, this is what you do. That you may be your father's, the sons of your father in heaven or daughters, for he makes his son. He said, this is how you become like God. You know, you want to become like God. We don't have to raise the dead and do all. We have to love people. And in loving people, we'll do all that he has for us to do. But the main thing, that's why he said, love never fails. Now, you may reach out to somebody in love and that they may not accept it, but what you have done, you just acted like the Son of God, like one of His sons. He just looks at you and accounts you as one of His own. Because now you're acting like Him. That you may become the sons of your Father in heaven. He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do you not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Now watch again. He says in verse 48, and here it is again. Therefore you shall be what? Perfect or complete. We would look at this and people that would fall into this category and say, you know what? I love my enemies and I'm going to pray for them and bless them and do good to them. I'm caught up in the cycle. You know what we would call them? We'd call them some that's very mature. And say they're a person of character. They're a well-rounded person is what we'd call them. He said they're complete or they're perfect. And it does something to you. And let me tell you what else it'll do for you. It'll get where the enemy has no power over you. I mean, those hatreds are a powerful tool of the enemy. Doctors have found out it'll make you physically sick. It causes disease because it causes stress and it makes your body release the stuff inside of you that'll make you physically ill. But I'm telling you, if we can get past this and begin to love, he said, you'll be called the sons of God. And then in verse 48, you shall be perfect or just or complete as what? Your Father in heaven is perfect. Wow. Now that's powerful. You want to be like God? You want to be like God? He said, just get caught up in the cycle of blessing others. Other-minded. What does God want me to be? That's why I'm so excited about going down and feeding the hungry and having a backyard barbecue. Let them in. You know, he said, when you have a big feast, call the sick, the lame, the blind, the halt, the maimed, those that can't repay you, and great is your reward in heaven. It's going to be a great reward for all those that get involved in that. And we give all of you an invitation to come help us. I'd love just to have a humongous crowd to go down and just love on people, because we need cooks and grills and people that will help us serve and clean up and set up and tear down, and we need prayer warriors. If you can't do anything else, just sign up as a prayer warrior. Say, I'll begin to pray over this feed in the name of Jesus, so that bondages will be broken and chains will be broken on the lives of these people. Miss Donna talked to Gideon's into giving us 600 Bibles. 600. Everybody gets a Bible. Isn't that awesome? Everybody gets a Bible. Just loving them. And here's what we say sometimes, you know, well, and if you're going to go and have this attitude, don't go. Because we say, well, they put themselves in. A lot of them put themselves in this shape. The fact is, they probably a lot of them did. But we're not going to talk about that on this day. We're going to bless them. We're going to bless them. Remember when they brought the prostitute before Jesus and they threw her at his feet and said, we caught her in the very act. Jesus said, it's not about her today. It's about teaching you all today about mercy and grace, and about showing that wrong motives doesn't bring justification or judgment on someone. And so he said, you know, go and sin no more. So that day it wasn't about her. It's about, and on the day we cook and we get caught up, don't get caught up in, well, they put themselves in that cycle. And so we don't owe them a thing. Well, maybe not. But how many knows if you had some kind of big physical thing happen to you and medical bills came in and the insurance dropped you, and we could all be down there tomorrow or next week or next month, just depending on how much resources we have and can depend on. And by the way, which most of us, I don't even know if you ever could. I saw a deal in business week a year or two ago talking about Ted Turner, down to his last $1 billion. And you say, oh, but you know, when you had $8 or $9 billion and you're down to your last $1 billion, kind of shows you how vulnerable everybody is, doesn't it? Hey, that's why God said, don't trust in your uncertain riches. You know, you think you got a good job and you have all this stuff. Don't think that's your provision. Always trust in Him. That's why we need to get caught up in the blessing cycle of giving part of ourselves away and part of our resources away, is because we're blessing others, which puts you in the cycle of blessing. Regardless of what the economy's doing or you know, whomever. It puts you in the cycle of the kingdom blessing, which will never fail. How many knows his riches won't run out? His riches just, they'll never fade, never go away. Now turn with me, and we'll close with this in Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Sometimes Jesus gives us parables, and we look at the Bible and we know, you know, he talked about the man that's in hell. It was being a parable, it's likened to, or he'll say the kingdom of heaven is likened to. But I want you to know, this is not a parable. What we're going to look at here in chapter 25, and we'll start reading with verse 31. This is not a parable. This is what you're looking at, and what we're going to look at right now is your future. This is where you and I will stand someday. This is a reality. This is not a parable. He doesn't say this. The kingdom of heaven is like. Look what he says in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes. Let me know who the Son of Man is. Jesus. When the Son of Man comes. This is not a parable. This is not something that could happen. This is something that will happen. This is a reality. This is where we will all stand one day in the future. And I think the very near future. This is you and I. And with all of our friends and family and everybody we know and everybody on Give Account Day, this is us. So this is not a parable. Now watch. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him. You know, that's pretty specific, isn't it? Jesus is coming and He's got His angels with Him. One of them's going to be blowing a trumpet. I think when we get to heaven, all you musicians and praisers, you're just going to stand there. I think our jaw is just going to drop at the praise we'll see. And then He'll invite us all in to sing with Him. And then for all of you that's tone deaf, I think you'll get healed that day. You'll be happy and we'll be happy. That stood by you and heard you sing the best you could till Jesus comes. And then there'll be people like me that think you could sing that can actually sing. Oh, happy day. Happy day. This is reality, though. The Son of Man comes in His glory and all of His holy angels with Him, and He will sit on the throne of His glory. This is happening. This is literal. This is you and I. This is a picture of our future. And so we better pay attention when He says, this is what will take place. In fact, I'll show you something real funny here in just a second. He says, the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another. And at this point, this is when the tears will begin to flow, I think, and the reality will set in as He looks at you and me, and we're either on His left hand or on His right hand, and we begin to see the separation standing before the majesty of God. It's going to be an awesome and a fearful day. I mean, that quick, whenever He begins to separate us. One of the most fearful things I think about is, what if we're standing there and you see a mother or a dad or a brother or a child, and you look at them and you're over on the right hand and you see them separating with the other crowd. I don't know how God's going to handle that one. But I tell you what it does for me. It says that, you know what? The days are short, and if we're going to win people, we better win them now. That's why our church will always be outward focused. You look around today, because I want to promise you something. The crowds are not going to be this small. Because we're outward focused church, and I'm going to ask you to do things you haven't done and participate in things you hadn't participated in, and to go maybe where you haven't gone, and to pray prayers you haven't prayed. And we're all going to step up a notch or two, because I don't want this day to come and we see people separated on the wrong side that we knew and that we were supposed to reach. People in our community that's just down the street that don't know Jesus Christ. See, I just don't want to be guilty of that anymore. So I've already done my repenting, and now I'm going to do my let's go get them speech, okay? Because that's what God's calling us to do. That's why we're praying over names, and that's why we're going to send out flyers in our edition. That's why we're doing extra prayer. Pray over Scripture. Find some Scripture and begin to pray Scripture. I've been doing that, and man, it's just powerful to put your name in there and say, fill us with light and fill us, illuminate us with God's glory. And His glory. And it's been powerful. But He's going to separate them one from another in verse 32, as a shepherd divides his sheep from goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. The king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That's going to be a literal word that we'll hear from God someday. Those words will roll off His lips into our ears as we stand in His presence someday. Isn't that an awesome picture? And then He says this, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you and thirsty and give you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and take you in and naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the 600 of the City Rescue Mission, as you did it into the Guatemalans that had very little and was given everything they had, as you blessed the kids with socks and underwear last year, as you gave to your neighbor that had a need, you did it unto me. When you bussed kids in that couldn't come to church otherwise and cared for them and loved them and you fed them on Wednesday nights and cooked for them Wednesday after Wednesday after Wednesday and served them, that's when you did it unto me. That's when you did it unto me. That's when you did it unto me. Now here's the neat part. He let us in on this secret. And so all of us that know the Bible, when he gets to that, and he says, I was sick and clothed, and all those that are that still is new in Christ and they won't know this, we can say, I know, I know. See, we can do that. I think we'll be able to do that when we get there. You know, all, some of us on the right that know the Scripture, I know, and he'll say, shh. And he'll say, when you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. See, we want, you don't do something big for God, go touch somebody that has a need. And get caught up in the cycle of blessing. Get caught up in the cycle of blessing. Because you know why? You know why? Every person that has a need, and we go out and try to touch them, God said, you touch me. Let me ask you something, parents. When somebody touches your kids, does it touch you? You want to bless a parent? Touch their kid. Do something for their kid. Do something for their kid, man. That blesses them. You want to get a parent angry at you? Do something to hurt their kid. That's what God's saying. God's saying, touch one of my children. Just touch them. Just give them a drink when they're thirsty. Just give them something to eat when they're hungry. And you touched me. You fed me. God takes that real personal. You just fed me. You blessed me. You know, and you want to bless God? Go to the hospital and see somebody. You just blessed God. Pastor Helen, she needs a team to go with her and sign up for hospital visits. And you ought to go see her if you've got the gift of mercy. Now, if you don't, you may not want to go. But she really has a need. We talked about that the other night. You stay in your primary gift, but if there's a need, volunteer if it's for a season. Okay? And we'll have a lot of these volunteer seasonal needs in the near future. So just be praying about your part. But here's what I want you to know. When you touch somebody and you meet this need, God takes that very personal and you've just got caught up in the cycle of blessing. That's where I want to live. That's where our church wants to live. And so let's do that. And then he says this, verse 38. When did we see you and take you in and naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison come to you? King will answer then, surely I say unto you as much as you did to one of the least of these my brethren. You did it to me. That's a capital M right there. That's Jesus. Then he also said to those on the left hand, depart from me, you cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison you did not visit me. Then they will also answer him saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or naked or sick or in prison did not minister to you? Then he will answer and say, surely I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it to one of all the least of these, you did it. Did not do it to them. You did not do it to me. Wow. Yep. I'm sorry. It's important. Okay. Yes. Oh, yeah, young man like me.
Jack, you're young.
Yeah.
This young man, I don't know him very well, but he's been on this block all as long as we've been on this block. My husband come in and told me yesterday. This young man had a heart attack, and he went to the hospital, and they cared for him for the heart attack. But he got a back infection, and he died.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And a little bit longer. Because it just, it really hurts me. I've got a son who's 50. So I know, you know, But you think, oh, you know. But my husband was talking yesterday. He's had three men that have been his friends in his life. One of them was an ex. He was 50. He had another man that he'd been friends with for years that was painful. Like him, the man died last year or the year before. And there's one more thing.
Yeah.
One more thing. You know you challenged us to give?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I met my challenge.
Thank you.
What happened was, I told you, I gave, I don't like to tell people what I give, but I'm going to tell what I do. I gave $500. And I come and I told you that. I said, I gave $500 and I get to work 5 days and I get to wake. Guess what? $500. Yeah.
Amen.
And
amen. Thank you. Thank you. And how old are you, Joyce?
I'm 67.
67.
She's young.
She's young. Here's what I know. Whether you're 67 or 52 or 18 or whatever you are, God's holding us accountable to touch others. And I want to get caught up in a cycle of blessing. Listen, remember I told you I'm going to be a friend of sinners this year? That's my goal. One of the things that I joined a golf course over there. I told Jan, I said, you know, we'll move back into town. I have a little more time. I'm not having to mow all this and do all this. I said, I'm going to join and just make that my recreation. So I haven't done much of that this winter, but when it was pretty, I did. And they have a little poker night. Well, guess where I'm going to go? I'm going to go see, and if they're not gambling money, I'm not going to waste my money. But if they're not, you know, gambling and stuff, I'm going to go sit in and see. And I'd play poker to win a soul to Jesus. Would you? Oh, I would never play poker. I would to win a soul. To just get to know them where they are. They sent us a little deal in our neighborhood. We need a vice president of our neighborhood association. And I called and I said, what is the vice president doing? She told me, it's not very much, 2 or 3 times a year. I said, well, put my name down. And so I wrote my little autobiography thing and sent it in. And Jen said, what are you doing that for? Because she knows how busy I am. I said, because this is our community. And I want somebody, if they need that person, if they elect me, then I want somebody that knows Christ, that can put Christ in the center of our community, just through being there and doing deeds and helping meet needs in our community. They said the vice president, you know what the vice president does? Goes around a couple times a year, knocks on the doors in our community and says, I'm the vice president of our neighborhood association. Is there anything you need? Is there anything you see out of our little code we have going on here? Is there anything you'd like to add or we can do for you as the vice president? Now, they didn't tell me this, but I could add. And by the way, I pastor Prayer Faith World Outreach, and if you ever have any prayer needs, call me. They didn't say I couldn't do that. Or whatever else God leads me to do. Or if I see a need, I'll say, are you okay today? And all I'm saying is, let's get other-minded so we can get caught up in the cycle of blessing. I'm telling you, my whole mind frame has been changing just the recent weeks after getting other-focused and saying, we were walking the track yesterday, and it's like, man, we're blessed. To live where we live and have what we have and do what we do, we're blessed. But it's coming, and all my problems are just falling to the wayside. All my needs are just being met, and blessings are coming because we're just saying, what can we do for somebody else? You know, we love what we do. And you know, Jana ministers to a company, a health company, but you know what? She goes in and just shares Jesus in her everyday life, in her life. She's become a pillar of stability in a company, a multi-million-dollar company. You ask what she is in that company, they'll say she's the pillar and the peace. And they hate it when she goes on vacation because stability's leaving. That's what you should be. Where you are is the pillar of stability because Jesus Christ is alive in you. And that's what we should be to our neighbors. Thank you, Joyce, for saying, you know what? We have neighbors dying and going somewhere. And we don't know. Yeah. One of the saddest things I've ever seen in church one time, years ago, I had just started going to church and getting involved. A young man came into me and he said God had been witnessing him, pulling at his heart to witness to this young man out on a construction site. I don't remember what they did, but he said, and I didn't do it. And he got killed in a car wreck. He said, I know his soul was not right. And he was just sobbing and weeping, just broke his heart because of prompting. God had prompted him to witness, and he never was a light to this young man. And it slipped out into eternity. And I just want to challenge us today. Let's get other-minded. And God said, you know what? We think it's about doing something for somebody else. He said, but when you get other-minded, you've touched me. And you become, now you're called the sons of God. And you're caught up in the cycle of blessing. It's about blessing you. It's a win-win situation. So I want to just challenge you this year, in your community, in your schools, your job, wherever you are, become other-minded. Whether it's your enemy, God said this is how you treat them. You don't treat them like the world treats them. You treat them like this. You treat them like godly people. So they'll know that there's something different about you. Or if they're your loving neighbor, you treat them the same and you love on them and you help them. Okay? Let's get caught up in the cycle of blessing. Are you with me? Let's pray. Father, thank you today for showing us in your word that when we bless others, it's not about them, it's about us. It's about what we'll bring to our lives. The fullness and the wholeness that we'll experience. Because we become like Jesus. Jesus, every day of his life, would walk this planet and touch people and meet needs. And all the while, God, you were blessing him. You were blessing him with anointing and power and peace. And he was so full by just touching others and making that a part of his daily life that he became so powerful that blind eyes were open and deaf ears were unstopped and lame were healed and lepers were cleansed and the dead was raised just because he got caught up in blessing others and becoming like his Father. Make us like that today. For those that are new in Christ, they may not know much, but they know that there's a God in heaven that loves them and that they can that wants to be, live inside of them and that wants to flow through them and touch a hurting and lost and dying world. So today, Lord, today, let it be a new day in our life. A day that we rise up and we say, God, make us like you. We want to be called the sons and daughters of God because of what we're doing for people, for others. For the difference we're making in their life. By just asking them, do you have a need today? Do you know Jesus today? Can I pray over you today? Is there anything that I can help you with as a neighbor? That's becoming Christ-like. That's touching the heart of God. That's where we'll stand with the sheep on the right side of the throne on that day, that appointed day that you've shared with us in your word. God, today make us like that. In our community, Lord, we promise to reach out to our community. And all the names that were submitted a couple of weeks ago, we prayed over last Sunday, we lift them up to you today, God. Almost 200 names. We lift them up to you, souls that are unchurched or out of church, and we ask that in Jesus' name again, we lift them up before you because we know it touches your heart, and we ask you to touch them at their point of need and call circumstances in their life, God, to bring them to the house of God. Prepare them, Lord. We've been praying on them every day, Lord, over them, every day over them and the people that is inviting them. So give them the people that are inviting courage today, God. Help them realize, God, that their neighbor could be on the left side and they'll look across and they know they never spoke, they never reached out to their neighbor. We don't want to be that, God. We want to be the one that was obedient and sharing the hope of Jesus Christ, the greatest message that you ever gave to this planet, in a loving and caring way, building relationships and reaching out to our lost loved ones, our unchurched loved ones. So we lift those that are inviting up, that you'll help them to invite lovingly and with such a anointing and power of God upon them that they'll just the recipients will come. Those that they've been inviting will come in the name of Jesus. We call them right now. Come in the name of Jesus. Open their eyes to see, Lord. Draw them in, and we'll love them. And we'll bless them, and we'll help them find their part in the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.